Please be seated. Today's gospel is from Matthew. It's about hearing the law, but not doing the law. Jesus, who summarized the law as, love God and love your neighbor. Jesus is still in the temple teaching and preaching to his disciples and to the people. Jesus' bad example is the scribes and Pharisees who teach God's righteousness laws, but then do not themselves obey them. Jesus called them hypocrites. I'm going to jump overboard and tell you two stories. Both are about loving your neighbor. One is a familiar gospel story of a well-meaning man who decided that loving his neighbor was too much of a personal sacrifice. The other is totally a contrasting story from my own life. A personal friend who, in fact, lived out the second greatest commandment to the fullest. The first story from Matthew 19:16, you know the gospel well. A young rich man came to Jesus and asked him, Master, what must I do to get into heaven? And Jesus replied, gather up your possessions and sell them. Now give all that you have to the poor, the homeless, and the sick. Then come and follow me. The young rich man hung his head, for he had much gold and riches. He could not give them up. He just could not go from riches to rags. He could not make the leap of faith. His desire, in fact, was entirely selfish. He was not interested in loving his neighbor. He was only interested in getting himself into heaven. The second story is about the young rich man who did give it all away. His name, Millard Fuller. Millard and his wife, Linda, founded Habitat for Humanity a little over 30 years ago. Millard grew up in a farm country in Alabama. He was very poor. Somehow he was able to attend college at Auburn, finishing with a pre-law degree. The next few years, he attended law school at the University of Alabama. While at Alabama, he met one of his best friends for life, started a small business catering to students and to local farmers, selling cakes for parents for their children for birthdays, even sold seat covers for tractors, even sold little books with the recipes from around the country and sold those to farmers. They did very, very well. After graduation from law school, he and his friends started a law practice in Montgomery. Not long after that, their accountants came into their office and announced that they were new millionaires. Miller's only comment was, okay, now let's get on with making the second million. This fast lifestyle was beginning to take a toll on the young couple's marriage. This was not the life that Linda had planned for. He was always gone, working 7 days a week, 12 to 15 hours a day. He even hardly knew his children. Linda, his wife, had had enough. She had had enough. This is not what she bargained for. She packed up the kids and moved out, and they moved to New York City. But she did leave Millard a letter, giving him all the reasons, or the one big reason, they had lost touch with God. Millard immediately caught a bus to New York City, hoping to bring his family back home. And that was not to be easy. After days and days of praying and long soul searching, they decided to go back to Montgomery. And they had decided to sell all their possessions, giving all this stuff to the poor and the needy. It took over a year to sell all this stuff. Two cars, a house in downtown, a house and a boat at Lake Martin. Then they moved to a small college town in Mississippi as missionaries, preaching God's word. After that, they moved to Africa for a few years, While there, he and his wife, Linda, started a ministry to build simple shelter for the local people. After learning how to build small houses for basic shelter, the young couple went back to the United States, and they were going to make a short stop in southern Georgia, but they never left. There they met a man named Clarence Jordan, well known for his gospel patch ministries and a farm called Koinonia Farms. It was an interracial Christian community just outside of Americus, Georgia. Clarence Jordan became Millard's mentor and helped the Fullers start a small housing ministry in Sumter County, Georgia in 1976. Their goal was to replace all substandard housing in the county. And Sumter County was the poorest county in the state of Georgia. It took a long time. Matter of fact, it took 15 years to reach that goal. Meanwhile, the housing ministry began to spread throughout the United States and then to Eastern Europe and then on to every corner of the world. The next 15 years, Millard and Linda, along with an army of volunteers, and I'm sure some of you have been their volunteers, built thousands of affordable houses for the poor and the needy. Up to the time that Millard left Habitat, they had built 300,000 homes around the world. To date, this year, they will celebrate their 500,000 houses being built by Habitat. Millard Fuller touched just about every heart in the United States. His strength and vision was to provide a hand up and not a handout. His vision came directly from God. Millard and Linda were truly disciples of God, disciples of Christ. He and Linda put their words into action. Millard was loved by millions and especially by me. He was my mentor and my best friend. Millard Fuller died in the spring of 2008, unexpectedly. He was laid to rest in a plain pine box alongside his mentor, Clarence Jordan, in a peanut field in South Georgia. Millard left a legacy never to be repeated. Knowing Millard as I do, I'm sure he's still in heaven building golden houses for God. I have so many fond memories about Millard and Habitat, having worked with them for over 30 years. I remember most about this experience, how many, many times we would start building a house with no money. That's like redoing the church with no money. But it will come. I would always do my prayers with my volunteers, and just for building, we had a pocket full of faith. That's all we had. But we never failed to finish those houses. God bless this special ministry for the poor and the needy. God bless you and yours. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.